one issue of the introduction of the latest national strategy for innovation and taxation fees, which was approved by the Minister of Finance, and we introduced it from the 1st of July 2007, which basically is to begin to remind them as part of service delivery improvement. And the Western Cape as well, we have already started to work in terms of the contract, because as RTFC, we are picking up those contracts so that we pay for those sending off the renewal notice. So it's an improvement on its own in terms of service delivery. The other issue is the issue in terms of the administrative adjudication of road traffic offense regulations, which were finalized and published in the Gazette for public comment in September 2007, which later on one will touch upon the issues in terms of where are we now, because I'm mindful of the fact that during November last year, the chairperson and the team briefed the committee in terms of the act of issues. But one will have to begin to just to give a snap briefing later on in terms of where are we now. Then the other issue is the successful international conference on crash investigation and reconstruction, which was held in October 2007 during the transport month. Key to this issue, to this the crash conference, it is to conscientize and begin to make people aware in terms of what is happening during the issues of the crash and what are the issues they're going to look at. So that people should not be in a sort of realize the issues of crashes when they hear about them or they experience that in real terms. But they should be exposed to that as part of awareness campaign. The other issue, which was very key for RTMC, was the rolling enforcement plan, which was adopted, introduced, including the Operation Juggernaut, Operation Festive Season, Operation Buddha. Basically, what we're saying here, it is for the first time in this country where law enforcement under the leadership of RTMC has been coordinated so that we begin now to deal with what the Act is beginning to say in terms of the establishment of RTMC, the issues of fragmentation, to begin to bring all law enforcement together to say this is a plan that now, whenever we go and implement the plan, all of the law enforcement officers in the country, they are moving with the same route, and there is the monitoring and evaluation in terms of impact of that type of a plan. So metros are included, municipalities are included, so it's a coordinated plan in that regard. So these are some of the achievements. Now then, we'll go a bit further to say, we must begin to assess, independently so, on the what is that we are, what impact are we making outside there? As we are saying, through the Independent Road Traffic Office Survey, Offense Survey for 2007, there's an indication that there's a decrease of 39.07 in the overall road traffic offense index from 7.73% in 2006 to 4.71% in 2007. With provincial indices as shown in the figure below. This is in terms of the picture for the entire country. Now, when one looks at the extreme right of that graph, you'll see that the picture as far as South Africa is concerned, the reduction from 7.73 to 4.71%. Now, going to the next slide, now I'm becoming specific in terms of the issues that I will cover in the survey. One is the light motor vehicle exceeding speed limit in the 60-kilometer zone during daytime decreased from 35% to 23.5%. So one can see the picture on the left-hand side. Then the other one is the issue relating to minibus taxis, which in most cases, when we talk of accident, number of issues, you have a perception, we have always a say, where people say the taxis are the victims and all sorts of things. But when you look at some of the real stats, you'll find that, to be honest, not necessarily that the taxis are the victims in essence. It begins with a minibus taxi exceeding the speed limit 120 km zone during nighttime, decreased from 45.1% to 38.3%. But one needs to say, Chair, that it is not that we say we are happy. We'll only be happy if there will be total 100% compliance in this country. Then the other issue.
Just a matter of, at the end we'll come to the substantive questions, but just obviously, because,
yes.
I mean, these are very very impressive figures, but just so that we have a good sense of what they are, the figures, obviously we're dealing with, as you said, independent road traffic offense survey. Who's independent?
Okay. Independent road traffic offense survey is different in the sense that we appointed a company outside the RTMC.
Right.
That we should not do the survey.
Right.
We should get a company which will go out there to do the survey and give us the report.
Okay.
That's why we say independent.
Okay.
Yes.
And then when we say, when we're measuring offences, are we measuring offences that are picked up by traffic officials, or is it just an independent company which is not stopping vehicles, but just noting how many? It's a sample, in other words, it's a survey.
Yes.
It's a sample.
Okay. Sample, yes.
And it was the same company that conducted both surveys.
Precisely.
And so it's on the same basis.
It's on the same basis.
Same kind of sample. And
exactly.
Okay, no, thank you. Very well, because we want to be able to vote about these things.
Okay.
But before we vote, we want to be sure that...
another point on that.
Yeah.
The survey, was it undertaken over the Easter and Christmas period, or was it throughout the year? Because that would also have clearly some sort of indication in terms of the increase or decrease. Thanks.
Yes, I think that the point is very key, which one will say, we have to take survey on two occasions, during the festive season, a high volume period, as well as a normal period. Now, in this regard, the survey was taken from August to November.
Yeah.
Yes, but it included the holidays, if one looks at it, from August to November.
In other words, it's the same
yes.
period for the 2 years.
Yes.
I hope. Because that's the key thing, it's trend. That's what one's trying to look at. And obviously, between 2 years, it's looking very impressive, and it looks, by and large, the trends are across provinces,
right.
So it's not weather, or, you know, it's suggesting to us that there's something real happening.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we need a few more years to be really sure, but it's an encouraging sign, a very encouraging sign. But sorry, I was interrupting just because I was feeling very happy, but also
thank you.
I just wanted to justify my happiness.
Can I proceed?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Then, drivers of light motor vehicles exceeding legal alcohol limit during nighttime decreased from 4.02% to 0.92%. Then, down there, we are talking about.
So, those are now obviously people stopped.
That's
right.
Yeah.
So, this is different from.
This is different from that, exactly. In that regard, law enforcement officers are part. They are assisting the survey in terms of the people are taking the survey by stopping and doing some tests. So on the basis of that, then they begin to pick up what is the length of the track.
Yeah.
Then drivers of trucks driving without valid professional driving permit decreased from 16.7% to 8.88%.
Now, those figures obviously let's hope it's not the case, but could reflect that the traffic officers have been lazier in the second year and have not been adapted. So we need to, hopefully it doesn't, and I'm not saying it is necessarily, but that's something we need to keep in mind.
Chair, in essence, it is clear, because these topics, they assist us in terms of, sharpening our planning process.
Yeah.
Now, in this regard, one is beginning to find out that somewhere, we see a problem in terms of law enforcement as far as making follow-up, as far as stopping vehicles and sort of taking an action.
Yeah.
That's the true direction of the situation. But it assists us that what should we do in order to make improvement on our planning?
Yeah.
The other valid question, if I might just again interrupt the chair, is this. The reflection here by province, does that by necessity embrace only those vehicles in that province, or are they in transit? Because you might find there was a roadblock in the Eastern Cape, which I'm looking at specifically, where there's a vast number of that type of infringement, which might be vehicles travelling from the Western Cape.
Yeah.
One needs to tabulate that as well in terms of the.
It's from Eastern Cape, so depending on the dubious honour of the Eastern Cape here in the back. But it might reflect just that the Eastern Cape traffic officials are actually more active and proactive and so on. So, yeah. Okay. Sorry, we keep interrupting, but we're impressed with these figures, which is why we're doing reality checks. Yeah,
yes, Chair. What is happening is that these figures include the internal traffic as well as transit traffic. Because when you stop each and every vehicle in the particular province. The reflection is the reflection of the particular province in including both vehicular traffic within Eastern Cape as well as those who are passing through Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Then the fatal road crash results. Over the festive season from 1 December 2007 to 6 January 2008, the number of fatal crashes reduced by 206, which represents 15.17% to 1,152 in comparison with 1,358 the previous year. That is the reduction. Then the number of fatal fatalities decreased by 217, which is 13.26%, from 1,636 to 1,419. So if one looks at it, there was a measure of improvement in terms of the role in law enforcement that I referred to later on, this one that was implemented. Then fatal road crash results continued. Over Easter 2008, from 20 to 24 March, the number of fatal crashes reduced by 68, which is 27.2%, to 182 in comparison with 250 the previous year. The number of fatalities decreased by 69, which is 21.63%, from 319 to 250. Now, in terms of the law enforcement over the Easter period, just a bit of an outcome that we just picked up, we had 147,214 vehicles and drivers were stopped and checked. That is during those operations that one will refer to, Operation Juggernaut, Operation Buddha, all of them, that was the what vehicles that were stopped and checked. Then 56,745 drivers were screened for alcohol, and then 19,320 notices were issued for moving offenses. 1,663 drivers were arrested for alcohol, speed, and overloading. 2,770 notices were issued for vehicle defects. Then the total number of charges over the Easter period was 27,580. Key chair is just a chair. For me, what is important and what I want to portray to the committee is that the impact of law enforcement on our roads is not necessarily the issue of the figures that are there, but the outcome thereof, because that made a huge impact in terms of the number of accidents that were reduced during those periods. So that is all care in terms of the issues relating to the achievement.
Okay, good. Can we just quickly stick, these things are important. You've given us festive and Easter comparatives. Do we have a 2006-2007 global and year fatalities? What is the thing? Roughly, I mean, without.
Yes, Chair, in terms of 12-month period, because we worked on that as well.
Yeah.
We have a decrease of over 5 months, just about 5%, a decrease on the 12-month period.
Okay. What are the figures roughly you're giving on 206 and 207 in terms of fatalities?
Chair, if I recall, in 2006 it was 15,400 fatalities per annum.
Yeah.
And that's dropped down to about 14,800. 14,700 in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
sort of
order. Yeah. Okay. Just one more question while we're just trying to get these statistics right, because they're very important. The 56,745 drivers were screened for alcohol. You've got that in brackets there, KwaZulu-Natal. Is that saying that was the only place?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to correct that. If you look at the screen, we were just consolidating, and then so by mistake, KwaZulu-Natal was written. Basically, it is the entire country. We were talking about 56,745.
Oh,
yeah, that's why we collect it on the screen.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Thanks, sir. You've got something you want? It's more clarificatory questions at this point.
No, it's a question. I was just thinking that in 2000, I mean, why only 6,000 people were screened for alcohol? I mean, when 1,507
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Yes, Chair. One of the things that one has to put your mind on is the issue of you can't ever come to each other. Then there will be concentration on the you have to do a pickup. For instance, you stop, you're in a roadblock. you look at a person, then you suspect. Because by way of some signs, you can begin to say, but I suspect that this person might be under the influence. Then, in that regard, you take that person, you screen. But you can't just stop each and every car that you screen.
I was surely stopped several times in the course of these periods, but was not screened up.
This is Calvin. And how many were found to be under the influence of liquor?
It tells us there, lower down?
Lower there.
1,663.
We are bringing that, we're including already alcohol, speed, overload, they're included there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which birds another question. Because, I mean, we've got to get this understood.
when you talk about those vehicles that were physically stopped and checked, this does not then include any other static offences that might have been picked up by radar, by photography, or any of those type of things in respect of either speed or any other measurements. Am I correct?
Yeah, okay. And you'll hold on to your further thought for later.
Well, I'm just thinking, if it's in here or out of here, that's all I want to know.
That's fine. Yeah, good.
So it's not included.
Yes, Chair, we have not included them. Because when you look at, to be honest, for static offences, you'll find yourself that you talk of a very big figure.
Yeah.
Because obviously there is a point of vehicles that are moving.
Yeah.
Then here we are only saying vehicles that were physically stopped.
Yeah. Right. What you're doing is you're giving us a picture of a massive countrywide set of interventions.
Exactly.
And which included the following figures. And hopefully, and we like you, we would suspect that this kind of thing is also then reflecting in the statistics as well. But it's hard to make mechanical connections, but the likelihood is that. Maxwell,
yeah. So it would be interesting to know what percentage of the vehicles that they stop, the criteria that they use, because normally they would stop old vehicles, ugly, dirty vehicles, you know, and last week again. I could even see which vehicles they're going to stop. That's like a general picture.
Okay, maybe that's why I got stopped off. Yeah.
Sure, not necessarily. You know, it depends on the focus for number one, that roadblock. You might have a situation where we say we have a roadblock where now we do all sorts of things, being checking the driving behavior, checking the vehicle condition. In that regard, if we check the driving behavior, we'll stop each and every vehicle. If we want to check, we stop the driver, the fitness, get the vehicle fitness, you stop each and every vehicle. But then if you now want to focus on specific sort of roadworthiness only, then you'll begin to pick and choose. To say, today where I want to look at, if it's in the evening, already if your vehicle, if you are making use of only one headlamp, now it tells us that stop me in that regard. Because here is a vehicle coming, driving, having only one headlamp, which is the light is on, then you stop that vehicle. But if it's during the day, you begin to look at a condition to say, this is the condition of the vehicle that I'm going. So as I say, it's a combination. It's not necessarily that we'll only focus on unroadworthy vehicles, depending on the theme for the particular period, for the intervention that you want to make.
Okay. Thanks, brother. Okay. Let's move along.
Okay. Then, Chair, we proceed now with the direction that we want to take for this, from this year until 2008. Where we say our vision, what we are looking at in terms of our utopia state, we are saying we are looking at improved law and for law compliance and enhanced road traffic safety in South Africa. Now, how do we go there to that destination? Through providing for cooperative, coordinated strategic planning, regulations, facilitation, and law enforcement in respect of road traffic matters in all spheres of government. Now, issues that will take us there, we will go through participative way, in an innovative way, taking integrity into account, being developmental in nature, still holding our accountability and sustain as well as to be committed as well. These are the values that we are putting across. Then we deal with the key objectives, just to remind the committee in terms of the key objectives of RTMT, so that when we get into the other issues that we are on board in terms of the key objectives of RTMT. One is to establish the cooperation as a partnership between national, provincial, local spheres of government by effecting the pooling of road traffic powers of minister, and it was a mistake, the ministers, instead it's a minister, and every MEC and the resources of national and provincial spheres of government responsible for road traffic strategic planning, regulation, facilitation, and enforcement. By strengthening the national and provincial government's collective capacity to govern road traffic through partnerships with local government bodies and private sector, and focusing government on effective strategic planning, regulation, facilitation, and monitoring. To enhance, the second one is to enhance the overall quality of road traffic service provision, and in particular to ensure safety, security, order, discipline, and mobility on the roads. To protect road infrastructure and the environment through adoption of innovative practices and implementation of innovative technology. To phase out, where appropriate, public funding and phase in private sector investment in road traffic on a competitive basis. To introduce commercial management principles to inform and guide road traffic governance and decision making in the interest of enhanced service provision. To optimize the utilization of public funds by limiting investment of public funds to road traffic services which meet the social or non-commercial strategic objective and which have potential to generate a reasonable rate of return. And securing, where appropriate, full cost recovery on the basis of the user pay principle. To regulate, strengthen, and monitor intergovernmental contact and cooperation in road traffic matters. To improve the exchange and dissemination of information on road traffic matters. To stimulate research in road traffic matters and effectively utilize the resources of existing institutes and research bodies, as well as to develop human resources in the public-private sector that are involved in road traffic. Now, in order to do our functions, there are various functional areas that have been established. The first one that I'm going to separate between the two is the functional areas that are already transferred to RTMT, as we are talking now. And the second one is those that have not yet been transferred, which are in the process of being transferred. But the ones that have already been transferred, one is training of traffic personnel.
Okay, so just for clarity, these 10 functions are listed in the RTMT Act here.
Yes. Okay. So those that we have already been transferred are one. Training of traffic personnel, two, road traffic information, three, accident investigation and recording, accident investigation and recording, road traffic communication and education, infrastructure safety audits and traffic engineering. Now the following ones are those that are not been transferred or devolved to us, but I need to bring it under the attention of the committee that even if they are not transferred, in the spirit of cooperation, we are still performing this function. Because other than that, then there will be still a problem in terms of the successes that we referred to earlier on. So those that are not yet transferred, road traffic law enforcement, vehicle registration and licensing, vehicle and roadworthy testing, testing and licensing of drivers, administrative adjudication of road traffic offenses, that is ARTO. Now, Chair, I want to go along the route of dealing with each and every functional area and issues that we are going to sort of execute this year until 2010. We start first with the functional area of traffic law enforcement coordination, which the overall goal is to harmonize road traffic law enforcement between authorities at all spheres of government. Now, the objective, the first objective is to align road traffic law enforcement strategies. The measurement thereof, we say, we are going to measure ourselves by ensuring that road traffic law enforcement strategies have been aligned, and we are looking at end October 2008. The second one, to harmonize traffic law enforcement operations in the country through a consolidated business plan. Then the third that we talk of, we say consolidated business plan completed in May 2008. Now the question that one will ask is that we are in May now, what is the state of affairs currently? Indeed, we have moved along the route of bringing all the business plans of the provinces, the metros together, and making a consolidated document as RTMC, so that we have one RSA, consolidated business plan, where we now we begin to work along the route of putting monitoring and evaluation of those business plans, which now we do with it as a leader in the country. So we are almost 85% through in terms of consolidating those plans, and those plans are the plans that we, when we hold our meetings, you'll see later on, Chairperson, when we hold our meetings with provinces and metros, that we monitor what is happening throughout the country. And that's leadership that RTMC will be providing. The third issue, to develop and implement capacitating and empowering projects benefiting road traffic enforcement authorities, which we say that this will be dealt with in March 2009. Then we proceed to say, to ensure smart policing and management through a rolling enforcement plan that will look at achieving that by March 2009. The other one is to ensure good governance and stakeholder management through coordinating committees, where we say that meetings held on quarterly basis. I just alluded to earlier on in terms of the business plan about the meetings on a quarterly basis that we're having with different authorities. Now, when we take that business plan, it becomes the agenda of these meetings with provinces and metros to see performance as far as law enforcement is concerned. The other issue is to manage the development and implementation of the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code and the establishment of training and deployment of National Traffic Law Enforcement Inspectorate, which we are looking at completing that by end 2008. But if you look at the document, it says 2010. In essence, is by end of October 2008. The inspectorate, I've been reminded that the inspectorate we're looking at 2010. But when it comes to the code, which will, at the end of the day, ensure that whatever we do as law enforcement, we comply to the code throughout the country, there will be uniformity. That's the issue that now we are going along to ensure uniformity in terms of law enforcement in the country. The other functional area is training of traffic personnel. The overall goal thereof is to manage and coordinate the effective, efficient, and uniform training road traffic officials in South Africa. There we are saying, the first one is to develop a national training framework, which we want to complete this framework by end August 2008. Here, I need to delve deeper into this framework, because one would soon understand that the thing that the national training framework is only dealing with traffic personnel, not at all. We are looking at the broad part of training in this country. The first training will indeed deal with capacitating, career pathing for traffic officers in terms of refresher courses, all these other issues, so that at the end of the day, you've got the cadre that at the end of the day, when you take them to the road, you're sure of the fact that they've been properly empowered. That's one part. But the bigger picture is the issue that we're having in the country. We are faced with a situation where we say that we want to reduce candidates on our own. But then we look at one point, we leave the other issues in terms of training. And one key issue here, Chair, it is the issue of the way the professional driving permit is being issued in this country, which is a cause for concern. That people who are driving heavy vehicles, who are driving buses that are conveying so many people, when a person needs a professional driving permit, that person only goes to the registration authority, and the person, the driver, that person, the applicant, is only tested his vision or her vision, then the fingerprints are taken, then after this person has submitted the two things, this person is given a professional driving permit to go and convey dangerous goods, to go and convey our people on our road. So the route that we're taking in terms of this national training framework is now to begin to say, we have to come back along the route of what do we do in terms of our legislation to expose people in terms of number of hours that they've got a practical training to ensure that the behavior of those drivers as well are dealt with, we include taxis as well. So this is the broad part in terms of the training framework, Chairperson. Then we go to the issue of registration of revised traffic officer qualification, which we look at the end of July 2008, to develop policies on training of traffic officers, 2009, to establish National Training Academy, December 2008, to ensure provision of SAQA requirement training for instructors, March 2009, to develop and promote efficient and coordinated programs and projects for training of traffic officials, July 2008, to ensure effective and uniform training standards at all training colleges in the country, July 2009, to ensure sustainability of standards through literature courses, December 2009, to provide for career paths for traffic officers, December 2009, to set standards through central examination, November 2008, to develop uniform study materials, July 2008, then finalization of after training material and arrange for training for traffic officers so that they understand in terms of implementation of the ARTO, commonly called the merit system, April 2008 and May 2008. What we are here in terms of the progress, we are on course in terms of the training, Chairperson. To ensure provision of training frameworks through SAQA and CETA and SGBs, May 2008. Now the functional area in terms of vehicle registration licensing, overall goal to manage and monitor the registration and license of vehicles. The objectives that we are looking at is to develop a national code for the registration and license of vehicles, which we are looking at July 2009, to develop service level agreements between the Road Traffic Management Corporation and Vehicle Registration and Licensing Authorities, that we are looking at March 2009, to establish a Vehicle Registration and Licensing Inspectorate, we are looking at December 2009, to develop training material for officials responsible for registration and license of vehicles, and the Vehicle Registration License Inspectorate, we are looking at April 2009. Then the other functional area will be in terms of vehicle and roadworthy testing, which the overall goal thereof is to manage and monitor vehicle roadworthiness testing in this country. Then, Chair, I don't want to delve into this because it's similar to what I presented. With the same date, but and similar objectives basically. So I just want to avoid the issue of, again, repeating what I said in the previous sort of presentation. You can just go through the slide. Go to the slide that deals with the testing and licensing of drivers, which the overall goal thereof, to manage and monitor the testing and licensing of drivers. The first objective is to revise the code for testing and licensing of drivers. We are dealing under functional area testing and licensing of drivers.
Slide 32.
Yes, slide 32 now. Can I proceed?
Can I just
thank you.
Yes,
just to get clarity here, I'm trying to follow in terms of the functions that are actually being transferred to you. Are you reporting on those or functions still to be transferred? I'm a little bit confused. Yes.
Okay.
Say it mildly.
Okay, fine. Through your chair, when I started, I indicated that I'm going to indicate the functions that have not been transferred. But when I deal with the functions, I'll also be dealing with those that will be transferred because they will be transferred during the current financial year. So basically, one has to have a plan. Otherwise, it will be problematic in the sense that I say I don't have a plan for functions that are going to be devolved. So they are going to be devolved during the current financial year. So hence, we have to present the plan thereof. In other words, our state of readiness in terms of performing those functions is what we're indicating here.
Thank you.
Other
thing?
No, they've not been transferred yet, but you already have target dates.
Chair, at the AGM, the Minister and Assurance Committee indicated the agreement that the various functions would be transferred to the RTMC. So although in practice, or whatever the various administration steps that needs to be taken have not yet been taken.
Yeah.
We nevertheless know that we will be getting instructions and are planning to carry them out. I mean, R2 specifically, we've actually been doing R2 virtually since day one, even though officially it hasn't been transferred to us. But there is no one else doing it, and it will be transferred.
Okay. Just also in terms of the presentation, it's very good that this level of detail that you're setting for yourself in terms of dates and so on. For us, I think we're being overloaded a little bit with too much detail. What we're trying to do is get a broad sense. So, I'm just impressive. So I'm not trying to suggest that one's not impressed. I'm just trying to say that it's a little bit hard for us to digest. So maybe some broad brushstrokes. Forget about the dates. We can see what they are. So just give us a sense of, in these different clusters, the kinds of initiatives that you're targeting. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Dealing with testing and licensing of drivers, in every what we are looking at, in summary, as you request, Chair, the broad part, it is to ensure that at the end of the day we have a mechanism through which we will formalize the relationship between ourselves and the testing station. So that at the end of the day, we are in control in terms of interventions that we will be putting in place which are aimed at improving service delivery. That's one part in terms of all the testing stations and one part. Then when we go to the road traffic information, where we say the overall goal is to obtain and analyze traffic and crash data and prepare road traffic performance, the overall here, it is one of the key things that we have identified is that we are saying we want to reduce the carnage on our road. But critical is the issue of the, number one, an accurate capture of accidents in the country. Accurate capture. Because the problem that we've identified, Chair, through you, is that you report an accident at a police station. You fill a form. But that form, the police officer will take the form, put it down, and it might happen that not all those forms are reaching where they have to be captured, which is a concern. That's number one. And that concern there, it goes bigger than RTMC alone, because then it impacts negatively on road accident funds in terms of the fraud that is going on in the road accident fund direction. It goes bigger than that, where that we don't have the stats that we can begin to write home about and say we are accurate in terms of the stats. That's one. Secondly, the problem that we have identified is the issue of the same accident where two people died in that accident. I'm going to report that accident at the police station. I say two people have died, two people have been critical, they are taken to the hospital. But I'm seeing the problem to say that we don't have a follow-up in terms of what happened to those people who were in the hospital. So when we talk of people who died in our basically, we are not talking of people who are with accuracy. As I say that the overall aim here is to begin now to say we put up a system that, number one, is accurate. Number two, that system will begin to give us at any real-time information that today, if we are sitting here, I must be able to say, this is the picture in the whole country. This is where we are going along in terms of our road traffic information system for them. So that is the overall idea of that. That at any given moment, we can even form a trend to begin to say, we have run to Kodapani, here is his ID, we put his ID, then we can see how often is run to Kodapani involved into the pattern of behavior of our driver. Then we say, along that route, is another angle of a multidisciplinary approach in making an impact in the fatalities that we are facing in our country. That's basically the overall project. Then it goes further in terms of our crash investigation as well. Because one other thing when one deals with our crash investigation, Chair, the court is, one key issue is that we normally get reports to say so many people, 17 people died in one accident. Then it's reported through the media. Then it will also be said that the RTMC are going to do an investigation that have to do an accident reconstruction. But the concern is that that report ends there. We no longer again hear about this report. As if people who died through the fatal crashes is not dead. But those who died through, who've been set or been shot, there's always a report in terms of that which you finalize the case. Now, what we're beginning to say from RTMC side is that we take a step further to ensure that you are involved in that so many people died. Indeed, we'll have to go back and report back in terms of what we have done and what action has been taken as far as that issue is concerned. So, that's literally over there. Then the issue in terms of functional area, communication and education. Chair, here there are two key issues. That if we want to make an impact in this country, we need to focus and invest on the future of this country. And the future of this country lies with children in terms of empowering, investing in our children in terms of road safety, education. Now, one of the key issues that we are beginning to work on, we've got a program, the multimedia program, that we are running with the Department of Education in some of the schools. But then we are saying, let's go back and audit the program and see the effectiveness of that program, number one. Number two, ensuring that the program covers all the grades throughout the entire country. With the view that that type of a program forms part of your outcome-based education, obviously. That a child gets into grade R, up to grade 12, being exposed in terms of road safety issues, then when the children complete getting grade 12, at the end of the day, that children, instead of taking a letter like that, this children, because he has been exposed, there's no need for that children, that child, to be exposed to take again a test for learner's license. Because if this child has formed part of the outcome-based education, the child can be awarded a learner's license. Because we've got an investment on the children. Then, in that way, we know that my child, a member's child, who is exposed to this program, at any given moment when you make a mistake, the child will be able to say to you as a father to say, "Dad, but this is a mistake." So that is a part of one investment. One simultaneously, we are moving around the route of, on the other side, in terms of driving school, in terms of education as well. Because there's a problem in this country where most of the driving school, they even advertise to say, if you want your driver's license, come, you'll get the driver's license in 24 hours. And we're right about that. So this is the part that we are bringing to say, educate and bring along the issue of responsible and sort of behavior about our education process is concerned. Not only campaign, but projects as well. So this is the project that we are talking about here. So the other issue in terms of the infrastructure safety audit, here, Chair, what we are talking about in terms of infrastructure audit, we want to look along the route of being proactive as far as identification of hazardous issues are concerned. Moving along the route of SRTMC, we put up a framework, a policy document, which will, at the end of the day, ensure that you are proactive as far as identifying hazardous locations, reporting them to different authorities, road authorities, be it central, be it provincial, or be it municipal or road authorities, and to begin to ensure that steps are being taken as far as the road conditions are concerned in this country. That's basically the issue in terms of our safety audit, which is one subject which is left to the heart of our chairman on the board as far as safety audit. But this is what we are trying to say, Chair, about safety audit. Then the functional area adjudication of road traffic offenses, commonly Chair, point demerit system. That in most cases, what we, when we talk of art, so many people will say, what is that? But just in a simple term, what we begin to say, point demerit system, then it is clearly understood what we are referring to. But where are we now? We are on the verge of launching. The minister will be making an announcement on Tuesday next week during his budget speech as far as the official launch in Swami as well as Johannesburg during June. then that will be a pilot project. So all systems are ready. Sooner or later, the website of ASDO will be working, well before the end of this month. The minister will make that announcement as well. Then we will take through all other authorities to the launching sort of the town so that they can go through, they learn, so that by the time that we roll out, we should be sure the fact that all other authorities, they are sort of up to scratch in terms of the rollout. They are ready for the rollout for the ARCO check. So that's basically the issue in terms of the ARCO. And the other issue one has to report on, indeed the minister has already approved the appointment of the interim board, which sooner or later will be sitting in order to ensure that all the issues of ARCO are finalized. Chair, I think but these others are just corporate cross-cutting issues which reflect what I've just dealt with. I don't want to deal with those other facts, but it's like number 50, 51, 52, 54, those I'm not going to deal with. And this is slide number, just want to go up a little bit for you, one. And this slide. And this slide number 91. So those chair are cross-cutting functions, which basically are key. What I just dealt with in terms of the functional areas, that they are internal sort of issues. So these are the issues that are going on to board the committee about. So then we can then go to the issues relating to the medium-term expenditure and the working terms of income and expenditure. There, Chair, just a summary thereof, we are looking at the budget 2008-2009, 251 million, and the expenses 281 million, which are categorized in terms of which expenses that I was going to deal with. Then 2009 was talking of 2.3 billion, and obviously this is on the assumption, the revenue now. This is on the assumption that indeed ARCO will have commenced nationally, and the impact that will be made in terms of the collection of fines as far as ARCO is concerned. Then that's the extent for 2019, but the issue that I wanted to sort of highlight check in the outer year of the MCAP era. 2010-2011, that when one looks at the government grant or the allocation, we're getting nothing. There's no indication in terms of what you're going to get as far as the allocation is concerned. So basically, beginning to say, there's a clear message that RTMC begin to ensure that you sustain yourself in terms of revenue, and then what is that you're beginning to do before that particular outcome. So these are the issues in terms of the budget. Then there is a list of projects in the slide number 99, detailed projects. Slide number 99. Then slide number page 100 as well, detailed projects. Page 101, detailed projects for different units. Page 102, detailed projects. Page 103, corporate support. Then page 104, the summary of income expenditure for the transaction fees, which I alluded to the implementation of the transaction fees from July last year. Now, this is the projection that we are looking in terms of how revenue will be coming in terms of the transaction fee for 3 years and the expenses that are attached to the money that will be, so the expenditure that will be defrayed from those transaction fees. Then the page 105 is the project, and Chair, may I take this opportunity to extend our appreciation for giving us this opportunity to share our views in terms of our intention for this year and 3 years time. And I need to indicate before I conclude, Chair, these are some of the issues that we are taking. We have geared ourselves to ensure that indeed with the cooperation of other agencies like Fund Run, as I indicated, Road Fund, and the other sort of toll road sort of companies that, with the corporation, we are sure that come 2010, as far as road safety is concerned, that one, we'll ensure safety, we'll ensure that there will be, we'll promote tourism, and we'll contribute along the route of safe people that will be sure of the fact that indeed they can contribute to the growth of the economy of the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rufan. I've got some clarity just first before we go to questions, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah.
On page 97.
No, this is going to be a serious question. Let's just solve that.
No, it's just
okay.
A charity.
Okay.
You've got 281,000 for 281,000 written there. And yet your expenditure in 2009 is 2.3. Now, on page 97.
Yeah.
Let's just get that clarified. Is there meant to be a couple of more slips in there, or
what? No, hang on. That's what I'm saying. Let's look at slide 97.
Okay, fine.
Because it's quite a significant and a very significant shift that happened across the years. So let's go slowly through.
Should I take you through slide 97?
Well, students ask one. Let's just clarify your question,
okay.
Just on the revenue side here.
Revenue for,
okay, you indicated for 208, 209.
Yeah.
That there's going to be 281,083 rand, as it is written there, coming in. But in 2009, 2010, you then go to a massive figure of
That's part
two. Now, I don't know whether we are talking in thousands here or what's happening.
Okay.
Can I
have
a question?
Yes, please.
Yes, Chair, as I said, 2008-2009 will be running the pilot of us. And if you look at it, it is still a pilot. The pilot will only be in two towns.
Yeah.
That is Swale and Johannesburg. Which, by way of making an awareness, we are sure the fact that many people will begin to realize that ARTO is a reality. Now, the assumption is that, if you look at it, it's 281 million, not 281,000, it's 281 million the current financial year. Now we go to 2009-2010, which now falls within the national rollout of ARTO, which begins to make an impact throughout the country now. To say, everybody who got a ticket in other ways to pay, now you begin to look at your assumption rate in terms of the payment for all the tickets. Then it goes from 281 million to 2.3 billion. We're not talking of that. That's why we say, on the basis of the national rollout, is no longer for one town or two. The impact is throughout the country. Expected, know that I've been owing my tickets 5,000 rand. Now we take all the drivers in this country, which currently we are talking about 9 million plus drivers in the country, where we say only 60% thereof, they got tickets which are outstanding, and tickets at an X amount of money, that's what we are projecting in terms of the revenue.
Okay.
Hence,
we got that,
Okay, hence we say there will be a big bear. But as we go on, obviously, the revenue will have to now to decrease, because we'll be compliant. The revenue will decrease. That's why on your outer year, you will see a bit of decrease, and there will be a decrease from that time.
So that's what we are saying just for the slide. Okay. So while we're on the slide, let's then dig behind it a bit more. But you've clarified the figures and you've also explained the logic. Now, where does this revenue go? Okay, and if we then drop down into expenses, which is the lower half of slide 97, what we see is that there's a very, very in line with the increased revenue, from fines and penalties from ARTOs, there's a very significant increase in administrative expenses, which is parallel, basically, from 103 million to 2.1 billion. Now, I think I need to understand better what will that be spent on? Because what's encouraging, arguably, is that it's not reflected in terms of compensation for employees. There's an increase in the expenditure on salaries inside your own organization, but not a dramatic increase. Obviously, you're gearing up yourself as the work increases, but it's a modest increase,
yes.
A very modest increase. So where's all the administrative expenditure going? Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, and just another thing maybe you want to just add, so that you're able to...
Yeah, still in that chapter, when you look into the compensation of employees, if you listen to the explanation that he gave earlier on, he said to create tags, because there will be compliance, things will go down.
Yeah.
Why, instead of decreasing or being on the same 95, it's increasing as well as...
Okay. Obviously, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, you'll need to reply. Okay. I mean, I think I've got an answer, but I think you'll reply.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Chair. The most important is that one must not forget, Chair, the spirit of the legislation in terms of ASTA, to begin to say that authorities, starting from municipalities, metros, and provinces, the collection rate currently of tickets that have been issued stands at an average of 25% successful rate. That is the collection rate. Now, the implementation of ANTO, it is intended to increase that collection rate. Now, ATMC or ANTO will be working as an instrument to assist those authorities to increase their collection. So the payment that will be done will be coming as a revenue to RTMC, but RTMC will have to pay it back to the authorities. Those authorities that had a problem in terms of collection rate, now ARTO or RTMC, because RTMC is the one that is in charge in terms of the implementation thereof, will have to take that money, pay it back to the authorities. In other words, here we are assisting municipalities, we are assisting metros and provinces to maximize their revenue collection. That's a big instrument. So when you look at the chart, you'll see that in terms of personnel, the increase of personnel is from 77 million to 95. Now, the question that the honorable member asked about from 95 to 110, if you look at it, there should be an increase because you have an increase of salaries on a year-to-year basis. So there will be that increase. So it cannot be 95. It will always have an increase. But when it comes to the administrative expenses, these are expenses that have to be, now you take this money, pay it to the different authorities.
And the second aspect, which you're not answering, is but the fines go down.
Yes.
Hopefully because the system, the idea is of the system is
yes.
not to have a rising amount of fines,
that's right.
But greater and greater compliance.
That's right.
So it's not about profit.
Right.
For RTMC. It's yes. About road safety.
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, I think the key point is yes. That at the moment, the various provincial and metropolitan authorities that do law enforcement keep the fines
yes.
Themselves.
Yes.
In future, all fines will come to the RTMC.
Yes.
And then they will be dispersed back
right.
To the authorities.
Yes.
So really the explanation for the huge increase in the budget. But in order for us to be able to properly administer those fines, to keep R2 running, to keep the NATIS running, we will need staff.
Yeah.
And also to do the crash investigations and we will need additional staff.
Yes.
So even though we're expecting or budgeting for the fines to go down because we're successful in law enforcement, we still need to have the staff. to ensure that
to keep it up.
To keep it up, yeah.
Now clearly your calculations and therefore and also the compliance that you're getting, a corporation, let's put it like that you're getting from metros and so forth is based on the assumption which you were basically saying in your input, that they will actually see improved revenue from this source because at the moment they're getting a pathetic 25%. Of what they should be getting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
obviously they need to, and that's the buy-in, that's where the buy-in comes in from their side, which will have to be shown in, I mean, so these are guesstimates from our side, and we're obviously, and the success or failure of the entire RTMC process and getting cooperation from other spheres of government swings on this, so the swings on the market. Okay, you were about to say it.
Yes, sir, what I wanted to say is that one will ask a question to me about what is there for asking. When we collect, when we put up, when one looks at the messages, you need to encourage compliance in the sense that if you pay within the period of 32 days or 28 days, whatever the date there, when you pay within that period, then you pay an amount with a sort of a decrease. There's a discount. So it encourages compliance. Now, all the money that comes before 32 days is money that has to be paid. It's paid to us as admins because we don't want to cause confusion to the members of Parliament. Then we disperse the money back to local authorities. But all money, if you don't pay within 32 days, then the process of ARCO kicks in after 32 days. Then obviously there's a charge that has to be paid now in terms of because we did not pay within the stipulated period. That charge that has been levied now in over and above that is over the period of 32 days is very important that is a transaction fee that you are talking of that now pays their staff in RCMC. It's only there that we are being given. In other words, we are not taking anything in terms of what authorities have issued. Authorities tend to benefit. We only benefit in terms of paying staff and all other things in terms of the transaction fees that will be dealing with, the levies that will be levied after 32 days. So I just want to explain that as well.
Okay. We can have a perverse outcome that you hope for a large number of people to default on an early payment for this.
Exactly.
So which as a parliament, therefore, and as the board...
No.
But what, now, obviously, I'm not suggesting that.
That's
what I'm saying is it can have...
It can have.
That's the verb. In fact, which needs to be oversighted in a continuous way. Okay. I think Thabo has 20% on. Yeah. You're okay. Okay. Let's then open it up for broader discussion. And what we'll do normally is we'll take a couple of questions and go to yourself.
I just wanted to ask on this floor.
Yes, no fun.
The 30 Rand levy transaction fee, which has been collected through eNatus now, where does that reflect in this budget? And, you know, what is happening to the current status? It's not, I don't see it.
Okay, let's hold on to that question. That's a good question. Let's hold on to the thing.
Thank you, Chairperson, and certainly for coming here. I just came from the airport.
Yeah.
I just want to congratulate the CEO, and he's from Free State. But Chairperson, I want to start by saying I'm impressed with acting since the comprehensive report that they've given us today. And to show that they are on top of things, during the past years, it was a problem. When we hear that actors were coming to the committee, you would be, wanting to close your ears and say, wow, what are they going to say? But I'm very impressed, Chairperson, with the report. But Chairperson, I wanted to start my questions saying, during Easter and festive season, you will find roadblocks, which is good, and obviously and automatically people or the drivers are geared to say, during that time they cannot be at default and all that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with campaigns during, that particular time. But the thing is, beyond the incidents and safety seasons and all that, there are a lot of accidents that are happening. And people know that you'll never find traffic officers on the road. And when we are comparing fares, from 2006, the way we are asking them, when we are comparing that, we should look as well during the year, it shouldn't be left like,
massive, in Easter and festive season, they'll see this massive roadblock and people are going to be checked and all that. Because obviously they know and they won't do things that are wrong and all that. The other thing is, I was just saying that they should make sure that during the year that is also taken care of. But another thing is that at that particular time, the Easter and festive season, you will never find traffic officers at night. I travel during the night. I like traveling at night. But you won't see them at night, you know? And that's where some of the accidents are happening, especially with truck drivers, them being exhausted and all that, you know, and people getting drunk during the night. And I think that needs to be improved. Chairperson, on page 18, I have several questions.
Page 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
The functions that are transferred. The function number 5, infrastructure, safety, audit, and traffic engineering. I wanted to find more about that. And, you know, the concern that we've always had with these functions, the other functions that are not yet devolved to RTMC. But I think in your explanation, when you're explaining the finances, you did allude to that a little bit. On how are you going to transfer the money back into provinces? Because this is some of the money that they will be getting, you know. And I'm thinking of Mangaung having to, for some time they won't get this money. And I know that some municipalities really need this money for revenue. So I think when you were explaining the finances, you did allude a little bit to that.
Are you satisfied with this?
No. Yes, but my question was number 5, infrastructure, safety, audit, and traffic engineering. If you could explain that. And page 21. Okay.
I'm happy to say this, but the Road Traffic Management Corporation, they'll go back to school and teach our kids about, because I don't know, I want to ask, I just want to say something about this thing, because early 80s, I remember my son, when he got his license, he started the school. There was a program at school that the department was training the matric how to drive. You know, if they can bring back that program, I think maybe it can be better. It can stop this mushrooming of the driving school that we just advertise that we get a license in 2 weeks' time. Because I'm wondering that, because there are so many driving schools, especially in the housing, there are so many driving schools. And I ask myself, if you want to open a driving school, you just decided to open the driving school overnight. Because you can't teach a person to drive. Maybe I can't even drive myself. I just know how to control a steering and how to change. And that person is teaching me how to drive. And after that, I'll get a license. Because they know how, they'll make sure that I'll get the license. In 2 weeks' time, they arrive. You know, but it can take this problem back to our school and teach our kids. As I can't even say that about the government. They had that problem. There was a problem that they're teaching our kids at school how to drive. The traffic cops, they used to go to school and took out the kids to the testing, to the driving or what, because I remember my son, he learned to drive from school and he was teached by the department. Maybe that can, you know, let me stop there.
Yeah, no, but you're very, very clear. And a number of other hands. Let's there's already a lot of things, so let's. We don't like to overload. So, especially with.
you are looking at the amount of the lady shepherd, let me give you the other page 104. That was the question in relation to the lady, the lady of the Tatsuki.
The key native transaction.
Yes, the key native transaction. Okay. The transaction fee income, as I alluded to page 104, is for 2008-2009, 380 million 408. That's where it appears on page 104.
Yeah.
So in other words, from the 1st of July until the end of the March, this is what we are collecting. So what we are projecting in terms of the number of vehicles that you are having that are registered or the transactions that are going to be dealt with, as you are projecting this for 2009-2010. Then you go for 2010-2011, so that's when the transaction is, the third year of the nature. Then going back to the issues relating to Easter and festive season.
Sorry, Jay.
Okay.
I think the question was also how did we get spent?
Oh.
And it's on the same page.
Okay, sorry.
But I think important to see there is that there will be money spent on projects. And when the transaction fee was approved by Parliament, it was actually ring-fenced. In other words, it had to be spent on NATIS-related issues. We couldn't use it as general revenue. And so that's reflected separately on this slide.
An example of a NATIS related issue would be what?
The contravention register, the accident investigation,
the improvement
of the crash data.
Good, good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, on page 105, Chair. You have a list of what the chapters are just alluded to. Page 105, can you just go to page 105? Page 105. It clearly indicates all projects that are related to Navy. They will have a project.
Okay. Right.
The list of projects. Okay.
Yeah,
can I proceed?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Then there was a question in relation to Easter and the decision.
Yeah.
About the problem. Indeed, I need to confirm that even going further to say, in December, I went throughout the country, I drove throughout the country, because I started the 1st of December. I drove not less than 8,400 kilometers in December, until January. Your key to me was, we always talk about what is going to happen during the festive period, but we don't know what's happening down the ground. So I went around, and the number of issues that I picked up, I need to come up with it because I can't run away from that. It's issues in terms of, we'll talk about number of traffic officers on the road, but the question is, when they're on the road, what are they doing? Is there an impact? Or are they on the road because we all want to see bodies on the road? Or they're on the road to make an impact? These are some of the issues that come out. I mean, we are dealing with within our teams in terms of what intervention we put on the table. Secondly, the issue of juveniles, you'll find that you're getting this, the traffic officer until 8 o'clock. But after 8 o'clock, it becomes a problem that you don't get all traffic officers in all the roads. There are certain roads that you get traffic officers. Now, this is a managerial problem. Now, these are issues that we are dealing with as a coordinated as sort of body to say. What interventions are we putting in place to begin to develop our managers, our middle managers, so they begin to understand that when they use their planning is not only that you put a paper that is there is planning, but effective planning is that it should be followed up by monitoring to check whether what you have planned is with what is really happening on the road. So what I'm trying to say, I don't want to defend, I just see that it is a reality that you are putting interventions on the table. And taking it better is not only that now we're focused on Easter. One of the issues that one has to bear in mind is that during festive season, this is one issue that I want to explain today. During festive season, you find yourself that with holiday tilts. Now, you have some of your public holidays where you don't have driver's license, you don't do this. Then you release some of your traffic officers to go on the road as well. And this is a reality out there. Then you release some of your traffic officers to go on the road. But during the normal season, you have some of the traffic officers in other towns which are testing vehicles and are traffic officers. So basically now you are constrained in terms of personnel for normal season. And hence sometimes you find yourself that we work on a depleted a sort of workforce in this regard. So it's one thing that you are coming up in terms of what is that that has to be done. The traffic officer should focus on their core business. And just for me, the core business of traffic officer is to save lives. When it comes to the testing, not the core business of the traffic officer. If you can still put another person who can test the driver, who can test the vehicle, so that all uniform personnel traffic should focus on their core business. So these are the interventions that we are working on, so that at all times, 365 a year, we have law enforcement on our roads. That we can begin to make a mark in terms of what we are to achieve.
Okay, thank you.
Then the issue of infrastructure audit as well as engineering. When you talk of infrastructure audit, I try to touch on it a bit in broad to begin to say, when we talk of your infrastructure, we talk about our road. Our road is our infrastructure. That's basically our business, basically. Where we say, this is the road. Now, what is the furniture on the road? The furniture on the road is your road signs, is the road itself, that you have to see that furniture is polished. Now, polished in the sense that if it has got potholes, then it's a source for danger. Now, when you identify that, you begin to bring it under authority. That's the audit. That's part of the audit that you are conducting this study. When you see a roadside, which that roadside is no longer pointing where it's supposed to point, you report that roadside. Or there's no roadside, or there's no road marking, it's a furniture. Now, all that furniture, we as RTMC, we should conduct an audit in a proactive way. That it should not be a point of we are waiting for something to happen. But we must come with a report in terms of what are the deficiencies on our road. Now bring that under the attention of the authority concerned, because here you are dealing with different authorities. When you deal with national roads, you are dealing with SANRA. When you are dealing with provincial roads, you are dealing with the province itself. You might deal with a municipal road, it's a municipal. Now, we know who is responsible for which road as an authority. That whatever we pick up there, we have audited, then we send this audit to that authority to say, this is what we pick up. Can you address the following issues in a proactive way? And the number of ways as well, in terms of that. So, that's the part of the engineering in terms of our safety audit that we are talking about. That's the thing we're saying. John, as I said, is passionate about the subject.
I think Doc has done a good job explaining what it is. But let me just put it into a broader context. In road safety, most authorities throughout the world look at what they call the three E's. Education of people, including children and adults. We've discussed that. Enforcement of offences and engineering. Those are the three E's. And unless all three E's are in place, you're not going to have road safety. And the idea of the infrastructure safety audit is that there is a thing called the South African Road Safety Manual. And that requires the various authorities to look at their roads to ensure that they are safe, that the road markings are in place, that there are no potholes, that the road signs warn you of sharp bends or something like that, that the roads are properly maintained. So what the intention is that we will be reviewing that entire South African Road Safety Manual, producing a new manual, because there's a lot of problems with the current manual, and there's also a lot of research being done overseas since that manual was written, which we'd like to piggyback on. And then we will require the authorities to go down every single one of their roads and make sure that they audit them, and look at the road markings, they look at the potholes, they look at, and they repair them so that the road is safe for the user to use. That is really what the road safety
is. Okay. So they do the audit,
yes.
But you will insist on getting reports.
Correct.
Yeah. On a regular basis.
They are responsible to do the audit,
yeah.
But we will make sure it gets done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not done, we will also report it to them.
There was another question.
Driving schools and driving. Yeah. Okay. Amitabhala's question, which is around here. Let's go to that.
Then the issue of communication and education.
Yeah.
Indeed, Chair, that's why earlier on I referred to a program. We go broader than the old program of the early HCA, where we accept the fact that our children have to be exposed to outcome-based education in terms of theory, number one. That when they pass their grade 12 certificate at the end of the day, a child simultaneously can pass your learner's license. It should not be a point of when they are through grade 12, now they go into the driving arena. Now, what we normally do is they go and get a book, pass your learner's easily. Now, it's not pass your learner's easily, basically. It's applying to get in your death trap easily. And that's what we have been looking at. So what we are really beginning to say as RTMP is that let's really begin to invest at an early age and ensure that we take the path of road safety seriously from the side of the chair. So indeed, this is what we are moving at. We are building further on top of that project that used to be there in the 80s. Now we are broadening up, aligning it with the type of syllabus that is there in terms of the education of outcome-based. So saying you can still make use of road safety issues in line with the policy that we are having in terms of the syllabus that we are having of the Department of Education, which is based on outcome-based. So indeed, we are broadening up. So there's the issue of driving school.
Yeah, sorry, if I just add to that, 50%, or just under 50% of all the fatalities people killed in the country are in fact pedestrians.
Mm.
So we can't rely on the driver license to educate those pedestrians. We have to go beyond the driver license, and that is part of the education.
Now, in addition to that, Chair, in terms of the driving schools, the question that one has to ask is that we tend to say driving schools, but the owners of driving schools, if you go around and look at the owners of driving schools themselves, their driving behavior that they have, it's highly questionable. But then we talk of driving schools in the country. So these are some of the issues that one is going through, and make an assessment in terms of what type of institutions are we talking about here. We are talking of people who, after this person has acquired license 2 years ago, tomorrow, as the honorable member said, the person set up a business and they are opening a driving school. Then we rely on the product of a person who cannot even drive. That product should be put on our roads. So one issue in terms of what I talked about, the master training framework, is to begin to move along that route and say, what intervention are we putting on the table as RTMC in this country in terms of the driving and sort of behavior? So this is the broad part, that we are coming with clear project of intervention as far as that's
concerned. Okay, that's a bit vague, still, but maybe that's where you are. But I mean, are you saying that you're moving towards the direction in which driving school operators would have to be registered, licensed,
tested? Precisely.
Yeah, good. Okay, and tell us then. Same question, yeah. Obviously, we need to think it through properly and so on, but yeah, okay, good. Because at best, and at worst, they're doing what you're saying, at best, they're teaching someone how to get around the test. Or even worse still, they've got inside contact with and so all of those, but let's not even go there. But at the most skilled ones,
yeah,
teach you not how to drive, but but how to master the few things that are going to be tested,
right. Yeah.
And so on. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay.
You know,
One of the questions that I wanted to ask earlier on was that with all this good training, is there capacity?
Okay.
The personnel, I need to see that. I was hoping that there was a slide on that. The personnel, that is there.
Okay, we jumped over a little bit deliberately over this thing, but okay.
Because I think that is very important. I mean, with all these training colleges and all that, and, you know, monitoring all the schools of South Africa, how are they going to do that? They kept having of accidents. How are they going to do that? There are so many police stations, and if he's saying that information is not enough in the police stations, that they're
getting,
they're going to have a system. Where is that system
now? And how? When are they going to have it?
Okay.
Yes.
Maxwell had his hand up
a long time ago. Thank you. Sir, I don't know. The chairperson is passionate. He seems to be very much more serious. But the CEO is really passionate to the way he conducted this. And I think it's a good one. There's mentioning about education and training. But an education officer for traffic officer, what about the driver? I don't see where it states clearly that drivers on our roads that need the education. Nothing said about it. Or maybe it's those slides that we discussed. I don't see that. To me, that's a concern. The other one, the question is on the road crash data. There's always information about the fatalities. But what about those serious injuries? Those who became permanently disabled, those who become the baby of the RAF, you know, let's mention about it. And I think those steps is important, you know, because we only concentrate on those who die. But for those who get injured and permanently injured, it's much more than the fatality. And I think those steps should always be included in all
these research. I just want to go back again. I'm sorry to harp on this, but I just want to get clarity because I seem to have sort of a little bit of indifference in terms of answers that I've had with the e-natives here. When we discussed the strategic plan with the department, I was led to understand that this thing is still being held under the auspices of the department. Now, can you just give me clarity now? Is it being operated fully by the RTMC? Because I do see that there is, in fact, funds coming into it from the levy, of which there's also expenditure against it. Now, my understanding was that the contract that was there with this particular program would include a certain amount of sort of maintenance on an annual basis to cater for that, and that the 30 rand levy would be more utilized in terms of administering the process. Now, I just want to get, in my own mind, very clear understanding of where it is, because if you're getting money in from that particular levy in your budget in 2008-2009, then I'm assuming that it's with you entirely, in its entirety, and I just want to get an understanding. I think, you know, one of the things that I hear has also been raised by my colleagues here is the whole aspect of whether, in fact, we're in a position to undertake any of these, you know, programs in terms of safety, when, in fact, you know, key to that is law enforcement. Now, I'm very pleased to hear that you've started an accreditation program and there's training schools going, so there'll be a universal sort of cop on the street, so to speak. But we don't see them, as, you know, as my colleague said, and they seem to just come out, you know, of the sort of bushes, you know, during Christmas or over the Easter period. But if we've done that accreditation, has the RTMC actually started looking now to say, well, look, this is what we have at the metros, at the municipalities, at the provinces?
in terms of the total force, because I assume accreditation means we now have a number for every one of those policemen that have gone through some sort of training, and then match that in each of the provinces, metros and municipalities in terms of what is missing. Because you can go and put in all the sort of plans in place, but unless we have visible policing on the ground to actually enforce these particular laws, we're not going to get on top of the situation. And that's a bit of a comment, but at the same time I want to know what, in fact, whether you've done a survey like that. The driver school accreditation is another one where I think, you know, I'd like to know a little bit more. We have a failure rate in this country of 39% of all people going for driver's license. Now, it might be the fact that, you know, we just don't have good kids coming through into the driving field, and they've never had a really good background of what safety and driving is all about. But the bottom line is that, you know, a lot of these little driving schools that pop up everywhere, that anyone has a license can now run a driving school. I'm just wondering whether there isn't anything that the RTMC could do to actually say to people that are trying to do that, these are the criteria, unless you meet those criteria in terms of license, and there's a program that you can work to. But, you know, they shut down a lot of these driving schools that effectively, and there should be some inspectorate that's going around and checking on that thing. The other thing which I picked up, which I noticed in your report, which you're talking about, but never really gave us any detail, which interests me, is the whole matter of number plating in the provinces now. There's been quite a lot of controversy over this. But in an investigation and questions I put to the ministry, I established that there's something in some areas, as much as 50% of infringements that are taken from number plate are actually either false number plates or they don't exist, or people don't have them on them, and whether there's anything that's been done about that. And then just the last thing in terms of your stats, which you indicated clearly have got quite a big matter to say in respect of safety, and that's the roadworthiness of vehicles. Now, the vehicle testing stations that currently exist here are known to be corrupt. They are known to, obviously push vehicles through where people can go out of the door and change the tyres and put back the old things and recycle these things. It's happening all the time. Now, what in fact is the RTMC doing about trying to get that aspect of it sorted out, considering that nearly 10% of all our infringements relate to unroadworthiness? Now, it might be well to say, well, we've got these juggernaut things, etc., taking place on the side of the road, but there's no facilities on the side of the road to get underneath a bus or a taxi to check its brakes, to check to see whether, you know, mechanically it is sound. And I'm just wondering whether, in fact, you know, we don't need to look clearly at those particular aspects of safety as one of the key factors to the loss of lives in the country. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Duke. If I could just attach, I've got a couple of questions myself, but I won't ask all of them now, but if I can attach one of my questions to one of Stuart's questions, which also related to the Tabitha Singh's question. In the course of the input, you talk about the Road Traffic Law Enforcement Inspectorate. And what is that? Is it a small group of people, as it were, answerable directly to RTMC, filling in gaps or doing RTMC specific things, or is it the totality of road traffic officers in the country? If we just have more clarity. I mean, I know that what you're doing is trying to introduce uniform standards of qualification, etc. Is that the same thing as this inspectorate, or are we talking about a smaller inspectorate, as it were? If you understand the question. I've got a number of other issues, but you've already got a lot on the plate, so let's go.
Thank you, Chair. The inspectorate that we are talking about, if you look at where it appears under the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code.
Yeah.
The code is a document that will have standards in terms of traffic issues,
right,
performance issues, uniform, everything else.
Yeah.
Now, this inspectorate, other people who will be going into the provinces from the acting side in order to make sure that those standards that are in the code are adhered to.
Okay.
That will be a small number of people
yeah.
from the RPMC that will also do training in terms of the code itself to provincial guys.
Understand. Good. So that clarifies that. Thank you. But could then maybe also assist in type of thing question about or if you spot gaps or whatever, how you know that, yeah. I think all students question, I'm not sure. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The reason for asking Tabo to come in is basically to come with a little bit of answering that question of the type of capacity
yeah.
that you have. There is a proof that there will be a capacity, but key in terms of going back to this issue of the capacity is that one should not see RTMC as a standalone. RTMC should be seen within the context of working with provinces, working with the metros, working with the municipalities. But RPMC should go a bit further than that to say, what are the gaps currently in the law enforcement fraternity? What is that has to be done to ensure that ultimately you close the gaps? After you close the gaps, then you have a workforce throughout the country which is a direction or purpose orientated in terms of achieving the issues as far as road traffic management is concerned. So basically, we have conducted an audit. There was a question in terms of, have we conducted an audit? But that question was in relation to specifically the issues of about the training colleges, for instance. Indeed, we know how many training colleges we are having in this country. We have up to now 12 of training colleges in this country, which some are provincially based, some are metro based. Now, we have conducted an audit in terms of what are the deficiencies that you are having as far as those training colleges are concerned at facilitation level, in other words, instructors who are providing courses. We have identified that. And then we are coming, that's why if you look at under training, we are talking about the career pathing, we are talking of all sorts of issues to begin to say, these are the issues that have to be dealt with. In other words, is to close the gaps. But those gaps, we are not closing the gaps in a vacuum. We are closing the gaps with people who are there. So in other words, as far as people are concerned, as far as trains are concerned, they are there. It's just a point of, even if we take Institute of Higher Learning, to bring them so that we work together, that they assist us in capacitating what we are having currently. So that's one part. Then the issue in terms of the road crash data, in terms of information that normally information that is available is regarding the fatalities. And a chair three, I need to really recognize that statement to say, what is that we are looking for in this country? We say so many people have died, but we never say. We are not on record in terms of saying so many people were disabled because of an accident in or traffic in this country. So we are looking at a bigger picture in terms of what we want to focus on. And we don't even go any further to say what impact does the crashes in this country make on RAF and even on SASA as well, Social Security Agency, which is a broader picture. And now, the route that you are taking in terms of the accurate reporting is precisely to address these issues. To say, yes, now we'll be able to make a follow-up in terms of some of these issues and bring in information today. As far as Road Accident Fund, how have we intervened? Because we are working now with together with Road Accident Fund, because from their side they have identified the issues of the fraud issues in terms of some of the accidents, the crashes, data that they did not have. Now, with the intervention that we are putting in place is where now we are relating the system, beginning making a point that the system should be available to RAF. We have a discussion in terms of that. And we'll broaden it up with other institutions because the key thing is RTMC should not be seen as working on isolation, but it should be seen as making an impact in terms of other related agencies or government institutions that we have to work together so that we pick up this type of information. Then we can always report on that. Then the other issue is the issue of images. The question was that the e-natives is still with the department, which is true. The e-native is still with the department, Department of Transport. But myself and the DG, we have agreed in terms of the migration of the e-natives. Because here there was a process that has to be followed from the side of the department to RTMC to ensure that there should be an agency in terms of feedback, which now will oversee the transfer of e-natives from the department to us. The reason being that from the side of the department, and even Treasury was designated as the migration plan and all those other issues that had to be met. But for her to meet that, that's why the DG from their side, even before I started, moved along the route of ensuring that CETA should be appointed as an agency that will oversee the transfer from the department to us. That there should be a sort of a transition stage in between. That in the case where they approach the CETA realize that there's a problem, they can also come with an intervention to say that we should never ever experience a problem during the transfer thereof. So our date in terms of our transfer that we have agreed, myself and the DG, is the 1st of October. As we are talking today, this afternoon, there's a meeting between CETA, RTMC, as well as the department, to finalize, in essence, the plan, and that myself, the DG, and the CEO of CETA, that we should monitor to ensure that indeed the transfer is effected from the 1st of October. But key that we have agreed on, what we are effecting the transfer is to say the function still, there are issues that we have to perform on the function. And those issues are later related. Now, there's an argument that we can still, because the transaction fee, as earlier on we answered on page 105 in terms of the project that are related to data, that this project we are running with them as RTMC, because they are existing projects. So there's an argument between the two of us to say that those functions we run with them. Now, there's another amount in terms of the maintenance of Navy, which is the allocation normally from Treasury. So the transaction fee is only augments on top of the normal Treasury allocation amount. Now, that normal Treasury allocation amount is still with the department. So when we deal with the actual event of transfer, that money will be transferred to RTMC. So in essence, we're working tandem in terms of ensuring the decision. Then there's an issue about the adapting the training college one in terms of the accreditation, then the issue of the driving schools. Indeed, Chair, I alluded to the issue of the driving schools to say that we are working on a project that ultimately we should ensure that when you open a driving school, that we have gone through process of accreditation. Currently, you apply to the MEC of the respective province to open a driving school. Now, when you apply, it's the point of you must be having a driver's license, you must be having a co-driver's license, and these are the issues, but there are no other requirements in terms of the legislation. Now, critical to me is the loophole within the legislation itself that we have to address from our side. To begin to say, this is the deficiency in the legislation. What amendment are we bringing into the legislation so that, in essence, we improve on the criteria that is needed so that we ensure that the type of driving schools that we're having are properly as well as they adhere to provide them with the criteria. Okay?
So just to clarify on that issue again, there was a question about how are we going to train drivers. This aspect of the framework on driving schools will also, the intention is to look at driving schools to have certain hours of training people before those people can go for a test. So it's one way of saying the drivers must be fully trained We are looking at maybe 40 hours because we still have to determine which is the appropriate time so that driving school can go through there before a person can be taken through a test.
Sorry? That would be a good question.
Yes, that's why I said that one if you are looking at the entire legislation.
Yeah.
If you remember, one of the functional units within RTMC is research, monitoring, and evaluation. So we are working in a way that this, you've got a specialized function, but this side you have an area where there are people who are a sort of skilled, trained in terms of monitoring and evaluation. So whatever we do as RTMC, Dr. Moyane's component will always come for each project within RTMC with monitoring and evaluation. To begin to say what type of instrument are we putting on the table, because there's no need to put up a plan which at the end of the day you don't have a monitoring in terms of the implementation of the plan and the evaluation thereof, then what impact are we making? So basically within that case we'll be working along the route of what systems are we putting in place to ensure that we monitor what we now prescribe in terms of the act.
Okay, but the particular question, the monitoring issue, but even, I mean, and presumably this will come to legislation.
Yes.
I mean, the constitutionality even of the matter needs to be put through.
That's the other issue.
Whether you can require, I mean, if the driving school is issuing some kind of certification to say that this person has indeed da 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 da, then certainly you could then introduce requirements.
That's right.
But you know, why should an individual who wants to go and get a license be compelled to spend 40 hours with a driving school?
Yes.
They might have, you know, parents or whatever who are perfectly capable of taking them through, or perfectly incapable, and might need 1 or 2 hours of refreshment and so on. So it's quite a complicated area. That's
true.
What I'm saying. Yeah. That we need to regulate this area much better is absolutely true. But you know, I think we need to think through, and that's why I'm suggesting let's not go into the detail now. Let's think it through, and you can bring it back to the next parliament when the DA is the ruling party.
that's why I've been trying to move along the route of will come when the legislation. We have to look at all other sort of issues that will be what we're thinking of and how are we going to do that. Then the other issue was the issue of the problems in terms of 50% of the infringement that are coming from the problems of number plates. That what intervention do you have in place? We were starting to have a sort of accessibility, what can we talk about a sort of accessibility? In terms of working on our, what we call an electronic vehicle identification, electronic. Vehicle identification in the system.
Yeah, some sort of chip or something.
Precisely. Yeah. We are doing accessibility. And I think by the time that we're at a particular point, we'll even, if feasible, request that we come and make a presentation to the committee. So that, you know, we keep the committee abreast in terms of some of the issues that we are talking about. Because it should not be a point that we talk about the plan, but we don't keep the committee abreast in terms of our progress in terms of our progress. So we still come back to the committee. Then there's another issue that will still come to brief the committee is the project for the E4 will also come in terms of that. In other words, we'll just request a day, then make a request in terms of issues that we want now in detail to brief the committee. Because then it becomes easier that whatever happens out there, the committee is exposed in terms of what are the issues and what is there that indeed the RTMC that they're looking to put in place, and indeed they are kept up abreast in terms of the issues. So that's one thing that we'll still come back to. There was the issue of the roadworthiness. Most of the centers which are said to be corrupt, pushing vehicles, which immediately after that is because they change the tires and all sorts of things. Change critical to the system that the way we monitor issues is that our effectiveness in terms of our law enforcement nexus of it is key. Whatever testing station that we can have in this country, long as we are not effective next to the road. It doesn't matter what type of system, what type of treatment station we have in the country. So key is what we are working on between ourselves and with national health agencies. To begin to now, when we go to their toll road, that we have a center for traffic. That begins now only, not only to deal with your weight bridge only, but must begin to do with the testing as well. So the traffic officer should not only focus only on the weighing of vehicles, but even checking the fitness of vehicles, having systems next to the road. Because by doing that, any vehicle that has gone to the testing station, that vehicle will know that what is the need for me to change the tire. Because so down the line, I'm going to be stopped and I'm going to be found that my tires are flat. So hence I say the key is the effectiveness of law enforcement next to the road. So this is what we're working on. Then I think, Chair, these are the issues that were.
I just have numbers of the law enforcement. Whether there's any sort of shortfall there.
Shortfall. I mean, are there patterns? Are there drastic shortfalls in particular areas, that, as understood, Stuart, to be asking? Is that right, Stuart?
Yeah, I wanted to know whether.
Are you monitoring that? In other words, force levels, are they adequate?
Are they adequate in provinces and municipalities and metro?
Yeah, you see, Chair, it's for me, I want to take another route when I say, when I talk about, because I refer to it later, earlier on.
Yeah.
For me, I would say, if one can finalize the best mechanism of utilizing what you have effectively, then you'll be able to come back and say that I'm not sure. But for now,
Key
to me, what I'm trying to do currently in RCMC, is to ensure that the bodies that are there are better equipped, are properly trained, and they are utilized appropriately. Then on the basis of that, I can now come back and say I'm not running short of. So that's not the reason I want to say, because it's so dangerous to say I'm running short of traffic officers. We are having currently in the whole country, we are having almost we're looking at about 9,000, 10,000 traffic officers, including the municipalities. So, key to me, that's what we have. But now we have to look at that 9,000. Where they are. How are they being utilized? And after I've gone through that stage, I can go back to the board and say, I'm having a problem. Can you assist me as far as creating this? This is what we have to do. But for now, I'm afraid I can't say that we are not sure of now. It's just a bit of better utilization thereof, then that's the route.
Thanks for that. Yes. I think that's a strategic response.
I've
got a few things which I'd like to raise. Maybe beginning with a big overall question. On pages slides 15 and 16. Okay. 15 says to phase up where appropriate public funding and phase in private sector investment in road traffic on a competitive basis. That's D on slide 15.
Okay.
So to phase out where appropriate public funding and phase in private sector investment in road traffic on a competitive basis. And then E over the page, slide 16, to optimize the utilization of public funds by limiting investment of public funds to road traffic services which meet a social or non-commercial strategic objective and which have poor potential to generate a reasonable rate of return. Okay. I don't want to be misunderstood, because I personally can easily be misunderstood in these areas, but clearly, one part of what the RTMC has to do, and the state in general has to do, is to work closely with private and non-state partners, especially in this area, not least especially in this area. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's true that this wording is taken somewhat from the Act, but in my view, it's a bit of a departure from it. And I don't have the Act in front of me. If you know that E there, it's suggesting that you have to limit your investment. Yes, as it were, check out, is there any commercial viability in this? If there is, then we're not going to go into it. We're going to get someone in on a competitive basis, as you say, Andy. And I think I'd like to suggest that that's a bit mechanical. I mean, it seems to me that, I mean, for instance, the whole training aspect that we've been discussing this morning is telling us something. It's telling us that obviously there's a commercial opportunity in training people, but maybe it's better done through schools, or aspects of it better done through a public institution, even though there's a commercial opportunity for someone, perhaps. The same applies to the whole theta experience, and I was going to ask you that as well. I mean, I know that in government more broadly, there's a discussion, which is not complete yet, but a major reflection on the entire experience of theaters and whether they're functioning effectively, and whether a lot of these tasks aren't best accomplished by what the old apartheid regime used to have, trade schools and things like that, where people get proper effective training and so on. The theta thing we need to review, and I noticed that at least once or twice you also are depending on the theta. And my impression of our current theta is that it's well, the less said, the better. Okay. The broader point I'm trying to make is that I don't think you should eschew taking on tasks. Yes, the key task of the public sector is to do things that aren't going to get done, that are absolutely essential from a social point of view, safety point of view, and so on, that are not otherwise done, or are done poorly, because they're being done for profit. But I just think that the line has been drawn too ruggedly here, okay, too robustly. But that's a broad, rather philosophical point, and let me not dwell on it too much, other than to say that I think not unconnected to what we were talking about when we were talking about training. I think what the public sector needs to do what is public sector work. Yeah. And if there's some money to be made in the process, well, fine. We shouldn't forego it simply because there's money, and that might suggest it, but perhaps I'm being oversensitive. A question, and that is something that has come up a bit in our interactions in the past with RTMC and other similar entities, and RAF as well, the Road Accident Fund. Are we happy with the magistrates? In general, there seems to be a lot of unevenness in the way in which sentencing happens around road offense, serious ones. The way in which alcohol levels are measured or accepted, and so on. And I'm asking this question because it's something which we've taken up in the past with the minister and with the Minister of Justice as a committee. We've said there are problems in this area. So lack of uniformity. In some dispensations, they're rejecting the breathalyzers. There's a whole range of problems like that, which I'm sure you're better with. Is there improvement? Are we seeing improvements? And do we need to put pressure on that? then a whole lot of other things, but let me limit myself to one last point, which is more of, again, another general observation. I mean, first of all, to say, and I think already a number of members have said this, that the previous report we got from RTMC was a huge improvement on what we've had before, and this one also, I think, shows us, you know, continued consolidation of the function. So, I mean, it's reassuring. Obviously, there's lots still to be done. So now that you appear to be up on your feet much more and moving in with the thing, maybe it's the opportunity to begin to ask some, or to throw at you some even broader strategic questions and thoughts, so that you begin to think of. I mean, one of them is that I think we're in a very interesting period in terms of transport in South Africa. First of all, there's funding that didn't exist in the first years after 1994 and hadn't existed in the decade and a half before 1994 as well. Secondly, I think that we're on the edge of finally starting to get integrated public transport systems. Okay, and 2010 is helping us with that. Related to that is, if those public transport systems are going to work, the enforcement side of things becomes really important. So you're not just dealing with the old challenges of very high fatality rates and very high accident rates. There are going to be some new, interesting and transformative challenges on the enforcement front. So one of them is about around traffic demand management. That we introduced car-free days and so on, but that's just really symbolic. But we can't continue to congest our roads like we are. But we can't stop people using their cars and things, or force them into lanes too easily and so on, when we're not providing alternatives by way of public transport. But as we edge in public transport, then we can and need to get tougher on a number of roads. So I think that's a whole area of a growth area, if you like, for the introduction of chips, which you're talking about, is much more than just monitoring whether it can be a significant means for traffic demand management, for instance, and is used in other cities. We've just come back from London, where they have a very interesting anti-congestion measures and so forth, and the chips. Well, they don't use chips, but it becomes an instrument for that. So I think we need to be thinking, RQMC needs to be thinking about a changing environment, and hopefully a positively changing environment, not just narrowly around accident levels and so on, but all of these other areas. Again, public transport is going to be needed to be protected. That's part of the problem, why people don't use public transport, unsafe in all kinds of ways. So it needs to be well regulated, well protected, from both a safety and a security perspective. So I think the mandate almost remains the same mandate, but the terrain itself shows potential. So I think it's an exciting period for all of us to be thinking out of the box and to be thinking integrated. That's the end of the sermon. Some questions, but also thank you very much.
I'm behind, Chairperson, but I just wanted to understand the character of traffic officers. I thought that they're just traffic officers, normally they're inspectors. So I want to understand the career path. But again, Chairperson, adding on the questions that were asked earlier on, the main problem, besides the roads and everything else, of accidents on the road, is people who have driver's license but who are not yet qualified drivers. Qualified drivers meaning they're not really trained enough to be on the road. And one of the things that are causing that is that most of these driving schools, they have people in the licensing, wherever you get licenses. They bribe them, you come, you pay 500 rand, you get your license. And there are cameras inside those testing stations. But the traffic officers, they know these cameras. They know where they are, and they know how to bypass that. And that is very important. So, I need to know what will be the role of RQMC. I know that you explained that you still have traffic officers in all the provinces and the metros and all that. So I'm just thinking, so it means you are collecting revenues on their behalf. But again, if you say you are going to inspect all these places, and when we ask about personnel, we wanted to find out exactly, we know that there are traffic officers in all these provinces. We want to know the personnel within the RQMC, the personnel that will be overlooking all these functions, all the things that we have been talking about, this good project project that we have talked to. And where are those people going to be situated? And we'll be saying, we are debating next week, and we want to say that there's improvement in RPMC, but we cannot say that until we are sure that there's capacity. If you have plans, but you don't know where to kick off this plan, it will be March 2008, even 3 years to come, you know? So we want to know if there is capacity. Apart from those traffic officers, where are you placed as an RQMC? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, over to you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. If I have to start with the last question. My answer basically to the issue of capacity, that we have capacity. RQMC has got capacity. And I don't doubt the capacity that we can make a mark in this country in terms of the personnel that you are having and the personnel that you are busy employing. Basically, when we do our employment, we do employment taking into account our plans. The chairperson of the board, when we started, indicated that I was appointed from the 1st of December. But down the line, we are now 5 months, I've already finalized the appointment of senior executive manager, deputy director general. So already says that it was a point of landing in a runaway, but landing without even put up a brake. Landing running. And that's basically what we are doing. So as I said, Chair, I can say with certainty to this committee that we have capacity to deliver. All the appointments that we are doing these appointments looking forward in terms of the plans that each and every plan that you are putting on the table. We already have a plan in terms of how should we sort of deal with this to ensure that we implement it. So that the committee can take it from us that we have the capacity. That's one part. Then the other issue is RTMC is at Centurion currently. The office, the head office of RTMC is at Centurion. And depending on the way we are moving, where we'll be moving sooner or later, the intention is to put all auto-related issues, all innative issues, in one office, so that we should not have all the systems lying all over. So already that's the other issue that I'm showing, that the movement that we are moving here is to ensure that all issues are put together. And those issues, when they are put together, key to that, we'll be looking at, in terms of our 2010, whatever we're putting there in terms of monitoring traffic in the whole country, linking up with some other set of systems from, for instance, the Western Cape one, the KwaZulu-Natal, the Central, where during 2010 we'll be moving to monitoring our traffic. We are going to link with all those systems in the same building that we'll be with the way. So what I'm trying to drive at here, there is a clear direction where we are going to get about this. What I was trying to avoid, it was to get into details for the committee in terms of other issues. So there were. There was another issue in terms of the career passing of traffic officers. Let me start with myself. I'm a traffic officer. I'm giving a career passing because the member said he wants the career passing of traffic officers. I was a traffic officer. I was appointed in 1980. I went to training for traffic. Then later on, I became a CEO. I'm giving the member a
very
passing.
Yes.
But in a format that it should be very interesting now. Mm. That I was a traffic officer appointed in 1980. Then I was trained. From there, I became a senior traffic officer. Then I became a principal traffic officer, a chief traffic officer. Later on, I was the deputy director in traffic, later on the director for traffic. These are career partners of traffic. But then I had to go beyond there to become the chief director, a DDG, and ultimately head of the department, and now the CEO. So a traffic officer, critical to me, it's what I'm trying to say, that we have to now sell and show that everything is possible. So that's the passion that one has to put up in terms of the career partner. Now, Chair, going back to the questions that you raised, basically, Chair, your first issue, it was to begin to say, be careful in terms of that key objective that you have put in here, and look at how do you implement, to begin to understand that epitaph, Chair, to begin to sort of delineate between what is there in the act and what we have put in here. We'll take that into account. Yes, that's one. But the second issue was the issue in relation to, are we happy with the judiciary basis? I would say, Chair, no, with capital N, no.
Unfortunately, the journalist was gone, but I was hoping, maybe fortunately for you, so, yeah.
Sorry, Chair. Because you'll find, maybe I can just narrate an example of my experience during the day. As I said earlier, I went throughout the country. You'll find that
in KwaZulu-Natal. Somebody is caught driving a car at a speed of 156 kilometers an hour. Then the committed public prosecutor in KwaZulu-Natal will put up a fine, a bail at a high level to show how committed the public prosecutor is. Then you go to precinct. Specifically in this regard, here I'm quoting facts, not making some issues. I'm quoting facts here, Chair. Then you go to Free State, you go to Bloemfontein. The same public prosecutor in Bloemfontein will now sit at home and put up an instruction and say, in a case where this person has exceeded the speed and you arrest, you can even give the person the baby. This is the type of situation that we're coming across. Sitting at home, giving already a provision for a baby. So there's a commitment in that regard. So what I'm trying to tell you, despite the fact that one is mindful of the independence of the judiciary, but judiciary should as well take into account what this country is facing with. And that's the carnage that we are facing in this country. That's the critical issue. So I have to say, from my side, no. The second issue. There was a classical example recently where one public prosecutor in Gauteng came out very clear to say she went, she contacted Ikurulene, she contacted Johannesburg Metro, she contacted so many, and they have not yet renewed the application for the instrument for speed. So as a result, she has withdrawn their mandate. That's the public prosecutor. It was almost a chance where people now realize that, oh, the public prosecutor has not approved the speeding. The speeding instrument that has to be utilized around here. So key to me, I don't think this is how we have to work. I mean, if there are issues, the public prosecutor does not have to go on public in terms of those issues. Because I would have stood up at the CEO of RTMC to say, I'm shocked to hear that a public servant in this country is doing such things. I mean, for me, it's from the safety part. It's not necessarily from the point of RTMC. So what? That has to check. Capital, and I can go on and on.
Thank you.
We need to address this issue.
Yeah.
Then,
but how?
Chair, for me, here is the issue. One of the issues that I thought of is to submit the DG of Justice.
Yeah.
We have had a discussion over the telephone where we expressed the need to meet. Then the acting commissioner of police as well. I have a discussion over the telephone. There's a letter that we will be going to express the issue to meet. So that from that angle, we begin now, we make a point in terms of how do we deal with this issue, so that when we come to our respective portfolio committees, we can say this is a strategy.
Yeah.
They go to your portfolio committee, I'm coming to mind that this is a strategy, then ultimately it assists the portfolio committee to assist us to take this issue ahead of it further. That's one of the issues that I'm thinking of. Yes.
Chair, also to mention that impacted the whole purpose of the RTUG, administrative adjudication. There will be one standard fine for an offence throughout the country. There will be one standard procedure, and only those very serious cases, which are offences exceeding speed of a lot more than 60 kilometres an hour, will in fact then be dealt with.
But those are precisely the ones where you want
Let
us. If what we'd appreciate is if maybe you could instance a couple of examples. You've done it verbally, but if in a brief message, brief communication to the committee secretary, we would then undertake from our side to draw the attention to Parliament. So we'll write an official report from Parliament around this matter from this committee. But we'll also then independently, as it were, convey that to the Minister of Justice. I think we've got to keep putting pressure on this matter. And it's not, as you say, we want an independent judiciary. But they need, as you say, they need to understand the reality of South Africa. Yeah. Thank you. Do you just want to add something on that?
Okay. Another thing, but related, but I'll come to it just now.
Okay, just feed it in because we're about to close.
I just wanted to establish, Chair, exactly where one should level inquiries, let's call them that come from the public relating to this e-notice thing. Now,
I just want to give you an example, which I think is affecting 90% of those people that are issued with driver's license. And I've had about five sort of people write to me to inform me about it. And that is that if you go and license your car, in this particular case, this guy did it on the 30th of April. And when he renewed that license and he was issued with the new notice, it actually expires on the 31st of March. So the system is pinching from the public 1 month of fee every time you license. Now, when they contacted there, they weren't actually been able to get anybody that could answer them, but they eventually ended up back at the department and they spoke to Colin and CB. He said, no, they're aware of it. Now, to go and actually rectify that, I mean, you know, it's a massive issue. I mean, you know, back in a line, back in
the
line.
Check whether, one, they're aware of the decision.
But it seems to be they are aware.
Okay, well, let's check with them if they're aware.
No.
Okay. Without going into the detail there, can we ask you to, we're undertaking to follow up something from you. Can we also ask you to undertake clarity on this matter? And if you require further information, Stuart will supply.
Let's handle it like that. As to who to contact, I'd be very happy because I've had about three or four.
Okay. Well, they're undertaking to.
Yeah. And the other little one, which relates to some of your objectives that you set out in your paragraph on research and development, these handheld little computers, if I recall correctly, as part of the contractual obligation of the dealer in the credit card licensing facility, there was already to be issued out a handheld computer. Now, are these new ones now? Or what is happening? Because it's
let's get on.
Yeah. Chair, in essence, what one does not dispute that. But what we are looking at, there was a provision, but the question that one has to look at, that provision, it was not necessarily funded. Now, what we are looking, we are just picking up the same concept, but picking that concept along the route of an RTMC, because sooner or later we'll be taking over that contract, now we'll be broadening on the concept which is there in the Prodiba contract. It's not a point of a duplication, but it's a point of broadening the concept and going a bit further. Because, like for instance, this one will say we want to check the viability of acceptance by the court of an electronic citation, for instance, that is signed, rather than having a book for a summons that now you have electronic one. Whilst in the Prodiba card, you will talk of probably screening the card itself. So what we're bringing here is to say, let's not have multiplicity of things, but let's begin to consolidate all in one so that we make it in the life of traffic officer easy, number one. Number two, the work should be done faster, the turnaround in terms of issues, that's what we're saying in terms of our project computer.
Okay.
Now, I needed to say, Chair, in terms of that comment of the broad part of traffic, we appreciate the challenge. We are prepared to pick up the challenge, work along the route of an integrated way in terms of the transport system in our country.
Thanks for that. Okay. Well, I think on behalf of the Commission, thanks very much for... We never have enough time, and it would be lovely to have much more time, but we also look forward to your promise to when there's some new interesting developments or whatever you want to draw our attention to. Look forward to receiving you. We haven't got much of a shelf life actually as a committee because we're dealing with a lot of legislation in the coming period, and then the Parliament hasn't got that long to last. But hopefully we will see each other at least once or twice more. But thank you very much, and the best of luck for ongoing. Apparently there's lunch in the cafeteria. We've got a little bit of housekeeping for which you're welcome.